So many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? And are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. For my Savior died on that rugged cross. He thought of me when he count the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Here am I. Here am I. Savior, here am I.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Well, we are honored tonight to have Pastor Winnie Pichardo with us. At the old building, we had wanted to start a Filipino ministry. Several times we tried. In fact, one time we had, it was like two families that were coming. And so we had the idea, let's meet with them and explain to them we want to have a Filipino ministry and we want them to help us. And so we had a luncheon for them one Sunday and we talked to them about the vision and we told them, hey, we're going to start a Filipino ministry. We really want you guys to help us. We don't know a lot about doing this. And they never came back. And so it's like, well, that didn't work very well. And so we prayed about it. And one day, God brought Pastor Pichardo our way. He just showed up out of the blue, said, I heard you guys are looking to start a Filipino ministry. And he did a great job. And now he's been 7 years in Daly City. And I was privileged to be up there for their anniversary, their seventh anniversary service. Doing just a great job. They went through a bit of a building project and raising money and re-outfitting a building that they don't even own. And so they've done a great, great job. And so we're honored to have him tonight. In a few minutes, he'll introduce it. He's going to show us their anniversary video. But pleased to have him back with us tonight. So why don't we give Pastor Pichardo a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
So glad to have you. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor Brother Myers. Thank you. We're going to be watching first the DVD before the preaching. We're going to be watching first this DVD. Last February, we had our seventh anniversary, and to God be the glory. Amen? Yes. And you will be seeing the start of the church just to see the history, how God blessed that ministry. And, you know, first of all, we're honored and privileged, me and my family, to be trained under Pastor Joe Esposito here in Pacific Baptist Church. And we're going to be seeing this a short DVD before the message.
Hello, my name is Pastor Wim Pichardo, pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. I would like to welcome you to our 7th anniversary. If you're a visitor, a guest this morning, thank you for being with us. We're celebrating our 7th year anniversary of God's goodness, God's fruitfulness, and God's blessings. And let me just read one verse in Mark chapter 12, verse 11. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We did not always enjoy this building. In fact, we're just here for 1 year. But for that 1 year, God saved a lot of souls. Lives have been changed. Let me just walk you through the humble beginnings of Harvest Baptist Church.
This is where it all started. 74 East Moltke. We had our first service. It's in February 11, 2007. 43 in attendance, and a couple of people got saved. This is the mark of the first service of Harvest Baptist Church.
He is our cornerstone. He's the solid rock. Let me ask you this morning, is Jesus your foundation?
You are in that edge, and all you need to do is make that step. Make that step. Peter made that step.
In June of 2007, after 4 months, God opened the door here, 60 Christopher Court. This is an old campus building. And in this building, we labored, we knocked on doors, we saturated our community, and God bless us here numerically. To God be the glory. Jefferson School District offered us the multi-purpose room. And so next month, we're going to be moving to a bigger auditorium. Amen? More people could come. More souls can be saved. But we need our prayers. We need your prayers. We need to beg God. We need to give. We need to be faithful. And we need to support God's work. Amen.
But I believe this morning one reason why God placed us in this beautiful location. I believe one reason this morning why God placed us in this beautiful building. There's one reason I believe why God opened this door for us. There's one reason why I believe God placed us in the heart of the city. God placed us in a very beautiful visibility and accessibility. There's one reason. It's in this verse. The Bible says that the name of Jesus will be lifted up.
God has truly blessed us for these past 7 years, and we're looking forward to what God has in store for us in the coming years. But today, I want to greet you in behalf of Harvest Baptist Church. Welcome to our 7th anniversary.
Thank you again for the opportunity, and we love Pacific Baptist Church. Before the text, I just want to mention, I mentioned that in the Filipino ministry this morning, and thank God for the opportunity also to speak. Pastor Ray is doing a great job, amen? And I remember 2002, me and Pastor Ceciliano was walking on the old building in the walking on that basketball court, and brother Tu was a classmate of mine in West Coast, and I know that you know, God called me. I surrendered, but I've been praying and praying for, you know, where would God call allow me to work and minister. And so there was a church in Alaska. They said, "Why don't you come? We need a Filipino pastor." I started praying. There was a church in Guam, and the pastor said, he was a speaker in our Bible college, and he said, we need a pastor, a Filipino pastor in Guam. So I started praying again. And then after many months being friends with Brother Tu, he said, "You know, our church has been praying for the Filipino ministry for 2 years now." And I said, "Man, we've been friends for many years, many months. Why didn't you mention it? Why don't you?" And he said, "Well, I want to see your walk with God first." Here was this guy. You know, we've been friends for many months, and he was checking on me. How's my, you know, studies? How's my walk with God? And, you know, testimony is very important. I was walking with Pastor Ceciliano to that basketball court. Pastor's office is overlooking that basketball court. And this is according to his testimony. While we were walking, Pastor said, the Holy Spirit whispered to him. We've never met. The Holy Spirit whispered to Pastor Joe, "That is your Filipino pastor." Amen. There was that kindred spirit there. I love Pastor Joe. Yes, sir. I love his family. I love Pacific Baptist Church. And it is a joy and privilege to be here. Exodus chapter 4, let's all stand, please. Exodus chapter 4. And verses 1 to 3, I'm going to be reading these first three verses. You know, they said if you will be invited to preach in a, you know, not your pulpit, in a different church, they said blessed are they who preach short, for they will be invited again. Hello? Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3. Bible says here, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Let us pray. Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of the people here in Pacific Baptist Church and the leaders, the staff. I pray, Lord, that you please use me to be a blessing tonight. This flesh, Lord, cannot accomplish what your spirit can. I pray, Lord, meet the needs of the people tonight. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. We will study tonight the life of Moses. His life is divided into three periods of time of 40 years. The first 40 years were spent in the palace of the king of Egypt. We will call this the place of privilege. The second 40 years were spent in the wilderness as a shepherd. We will call this the place of preparation. And the last 40 years were spent leading the children of Israel to the promised land, and we will call this the place of perseverance. Now, in our text, Exodus chapter 4, this was the second 40 years of Moses' life. This incident happened during the time as a shepherd. Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And in verse 1 of our text, Moses was avoiding responsibilities. Moses here was giving reasons after reasons why he can't do it. In verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. You see, God wants Moses to lead the people. But Moses was saying, Lord, I cannot do it. Moses was giving reasons after reasons, just like some Christians. Yes, sir. They're always avoiding responsibilities. God was saying here, Moses wants you to lead the people, but Moses here was saying, Lord, I cannot. Let me say this, don't avoid responsibilities. Amen. When it comes to the work of God, don't avoid responsibilities. When it comes to the ministry, don't avoid responsibilities. When it comes to the service of God, don't avoid responsibilities. Amen. But in verse 2, this is our text. God asked that question. What is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? I want to preach tonight on that subject. What is in thine hand? What is in thine hand? As I was studying here, there's three practical lessons tonight. I want you to see, first of all, in verses 2 and 3. I want you to see the first practical lesson here, that God can use whatever you have. Yes, sir. God asked, what is in thine hand? God was not asking what he doesn't have. What is in thine hand? And Moses said, a rod, Lord. This is a shepherd's staff, 6 feet long. It was just a stick. But this rod here, this is very useful for a shepherd. He guides the sheep. He leads the sheep. He protects the sheep. He will defend the sheep with his rod. But at the end of the day, this is just a stick, a rod. God asked that question. What is in thine hand? A rod. But I want you to see verse 3. And God said to Moses, cast it on the ground.
and it became a serpent. And the Bible says Moses fled. Now, again, this rod is being used by Moses to defend the sheep. So if it's just an ordinary serpent, Moses will not run from this. But as you study here, this serpent is a king cobra. It's very deadly. You know why? Because the Egyptians worships cobra. In fact, Pharaoh, he wore a golden cobra necklace. And so when this cobra starts to, this rod turns into cobra, Moses fled, the Bible says. But God was sending a message to Moses here. God was saying to Moses, Moses, I want you to understand that the God that you are serving is more powerful than the God of the Egyptians. God was sending a message to Moses here. God, Moses, nothing is impossible with God. Well, God was saying here, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Maybe tonight you're going through some trials. God has the solution. Maybe you're going through some, maybe there's sickness in the family. God is the great healer, amen. Maybe there's difficulties of life, but I want you to understand, God can give you rest, amen. God was simply saying, you see, Egypt is a type of the world. God was saying here, the God of this world is no match to the God of heaven. You see, to Moses, it was just a rod. But when you give it to God, it was limitless. Anything is possible. Notice in chapter 7. In chapter 7 and verse 12, the Bible says here, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. This rod, when he gave it to God, the Bible says, this rod confronts the magician's rod. And then this rod also was turned, this water into blood. This rod also was used to bring forth 10 plagues, frogs, lice, thunder, locust, hail. Again, the principle. God can use whatever we have. Let me ask you, Pacific Baptist Church, what is in your hand? What is in thine hand tonight? What is in thine hand? 2001, God asked that question. God starts to call me into the ministry, and then I said, Lord, I don't have much. I don't have much, Lord, but what I have, I will give it to you. I remember when I was in Bible college, they will vote this most likely to succeed. I don't know whose idea is that, but they will vote this most likely to succeed. And if they will vote most likely to fail, that will be me and brother two, amen. All those people that was voted most likely to succeed, they were not in the ministry. They were not preaching. They were not even pastors. But this man that is nothing was used by God. Here in the ministry here, and 7 years now in Daly City. 7 years now in Daly City, there's a church there that is a lighthouse to the community by the grace of God. Every time the mayor would come, amen, they will get saved, amen. And you know, politicians, you know, they will always say yes, but at least just one, amen, one time, amen. They might get it right one time, amen. But I'm just saying, friends, what is in thine hand? What I have is nothing, not much. But when I gave it, let it go, give it to God. God can make something out of nothing. My wife, she's not the best piano player. You have some great, great piano player here. She plays by court. She doesn't play by notes. Every time we go on vacation, we have to hire some piano player from college next to our city, amen? And just to play, we give them love gift. But the members were saying, Pastor, we want Mom Joy. Because every time she plays, she uplifts the spirit of the church. I mean, it is just a small talent. But once you give it to God, God can use something out of nothing. Let me ask you tonight, what is in thine hand? What is in thine hand? 2011. This Jefferson School District wants us to move. They gave us a year. It is just a four-year-old church. God was asking Harvest Baptist Church, what is in thine hand? I said, Lord, not much. We challenged the people. They sacrificed. They donated cars after cars, Home Depot cards, 10,000, 5,000, 4,000. On our first banquet, we're able to raise 82,000 plus the permits, 100,000 on our first banquet. We're able to beautify the building, but it was not enough. You have to retrofit everything. So again, second, 2012. Again, we had our banquet again. We had 64,000. And again, we didn't own this building. We're just leasing this building. We were able to finish. We were able to get that permit. I mean, friends, to start with, we have nothing. But God multiplies what we have. Amen. What is in thine hand? What is in your hand tonight? I mean, after this building, a lot of people will walk in. Many souls have been saved. Many baptisms. We have our first missionary. This week was their first week of deputation. I'm just saying, friends, we have nothing. We don't have nothing to start with. But what everything we have, we gave it to God, and God used it. Amen. What is in thine hand? Gideon, he started with 32,000, down to 10,000. And God said, it's still much. Down to 300. Gideon, what do you have? Just 300. But the Bible says he defeated thousands and thousands with great victory. What is in thine hand? This lad has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is in thine hand? What is it among many, 5,000? But when the lad gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says God, Jesus multiplies it, not only 5,000, plus 5,000, plus not to mention the women and children. I'm saying, friends, whatever we have, at the end of the day, is still useless. But once you give it to God, God can multiply this. What is in thine hand? What is in thine hand tonight? David, in front of the Goliath, the giant. What is in thine hand, David? Just 5 smooth stones and a sling. But when he gave it to God, he was able to defeat the giant. What is in thine hand? What is in thine hand? The 12 disciples. The Bible says they're just common people. The Bible says some of them are just fishermen. They surrender whatever they have to God. And the Bible says they've turned the world upside down. What is in your hand, Pacific Baptist Church? We need to finish the building. It was a beautiful building you have. You must finish the building. In honor of the faith of Pastor Esposito. You must finish the building in honor of the vision of Pastor Esposito. You must finish the building in honor of the hard work, the labor, the effort of Pastor Esposito. You must finish the building. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? There was a story of this little girl. She loves to go to Sunday school. But this church is very small. And sometimes the kids could not enter the church because it's a small church. And so some poor family. He could not attend because it was a small church. And one day this girl died. The parents asked the pastor if the pastor could perform the funeral. And the parents said to the pastor, you know, my daughter's been saving money for family. And here is 57 cents, pastor, with a note from this girl that passed away. The note says, pastor, please build a larger church. Amen. 57 cents. The whole community of Philadelphia heard the story, and it became an inspiration to them. They started to donate thousands and thousands of dollars. Businesses starts to donate thousands and thousands of dollars. In Philadelphia today, there's Temple Baptist Church running around 5,000. There's Temple University. There's the Good Samaritan Hospital because of the 57 cents of this poor little girl. What do you have? Just 57 cents. But once you give it to God, once you let it go and give it to God, God can do something out of nothing. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Again, the lesson is this, friends. God can use whatever you have. Secondly, I want you to see, secondly here in our text. In verses 4 to 7, I want you to see here. First, God can use whatever you have. Secondly, God's command is to be obeyed. God's command is to be obeyed. And the Bible says in verse 4 here, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now God told Moses here, Moses, I want you to grab the cobra by the tail. Now I believe that is not a good idea, amen? If you see a dog, you know, take him by the tail, that dog will bite you. How much more the cobra? Hello? God told Moses, Moses, I want you to grab the cobra by the tail. You know, sometimes God's commands are unreasonable. Sometimes God's commands are not logical. Sometimes God's commands are not realistic. But again, friends, God is God. And God is not a man that he will not lie. Amen? God's command is to be obeyed. He can be trusted. Amen? Notice in Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth or obeyeth the will of God, of my Father which is in heaven. You see, simply here, the principle is this. Christian life is not about talking. It's about obeying. I mean, how many here you know some people that are good at talking? Hello? They're just good at talking. Flowery words, they could talk. Amen? There's some people, they're just good at talking. I remember this pastor, he just had a new denture. So first Sunday he preached in his church 10 minutes. The deacons are a little bit worried. Pastor, what happened? And he said, you know, still bleeding. I have a new denture. Second Sunday he preached 20 minutes. And the deacon said, pastor, 20 minutes? What's going on? Because he's still adjusting. Third Sunday, he preached 2 hours and a half. The deacon said, pastor, first Sunday, 10 minutes. And he said, oh, because it's bleeding. Second Sunday, 20 minutes. Oh, because I'm still adjusting. But now, 2 hours and a half, what's going on? I accidentally grabbed my wife's denture. Hello. Amen. Bible says your Christian life is not about talking, it's about obeying. Amen. Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 27, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, and a curse if you will not obey. In 1 Samuel 15, 22, the Bible says here, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the apostle said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. I've learned this last year. I was driving in our main road there, Junipero Serra, going to church, Washington. Our church is corner Washington and Hill. And once you see a yellow light, sometimes the mentality is we're going to step on the gas, amen, hello. It was a quick decision. And I saw that yellow light. I stepped on it, and there was this picture. Oh, my soul. $400. You have to go to schooling. I've learned the principle. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. But think about this. How much more if we will disobey God's commands? How much more if we will disobey God's laws? Maybe tonight, God is speaking to you in the area, maybe salvation. Don't fight it. You need to get saved. Maybe in the area of baptism. Baptism is the first step of obedience. What is it? Maybe in the area of faithfulness. Maybe in the area of church attendance. Maybe in the area of tithings or giving. What is it? Again, the cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Maybe in the area of our walk with God. Maybe in the area of purity. Maybe in the area of having right priorities in our lives. Bible says here, God was making a command. Sometimes it's unreasonable. But God's commands should be obeyed. Amen. I want you to see lastly here. Go back to our text. First of all, God can use whatever we have. Secondly, God's command is to be obeyed. And lastly, in our text here, verses 10 to 11, God doesn't deserve our excuses. God doesn't deserve our excuses. After God showed his power, after God showed his abilities and miracles to Moses, I believe at this time Moses should be fired up. I believe at this time Moses should be excited here to go, God, I'm willing. I'm ready to deliver the people. But notice in verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses here gave excuses. I'm not eloquent. I'm not articulate. I'm not fluent. I could relate to that, amen? I could relate to Moses, amen? But again, the principle is this, friends. God doesn't deserve our excuses. God doesn't deserve our excuses. As a pastor, I've heard so many excuses. Pastor, I'm busy. Pastor, I have no time. Pastor, I'm looking for a job, so I'm not going to be able to come. Pastor, I'm not available. What is your excuse? Notice what the Bible says here. In chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses here was again giving excuses after excuses. Lord, I'm not qualified. I mean, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Just like some of us here. We have so many excuses. In chapter 3, verse 13 again, notice Moses said here, unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, that they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? I mean, again, excuses after excuses. Just like some of us here, we have so many excuses. I cannot give to that banquet. I don't have money. We have so many bills to pay. I mean, what is your excuse? God doesn't deserve our excuse. Notice what God said in verse 15 here. Verse 14. Moses was giving excuses after excuses. In verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am.
Yes. Amen.
I am that I am. God was simply saying here, Moses, I am that I am, the eternal, the unchanging, the self-existent one. God was saying to Moses, you might be inadequate, you might be incapable, you might be inferior, but the God that calls you will equip you. The God that calls you will deliver you. The God that calls you will empower you, will qualify you, will prepare you, will enable you. Somebody say amen there. God was simply saying, Moses, the God that you are serving is more powerful than the God of Pharaoh. What is your excuse? Excuses are just, here's the principle here. Excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. Excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. Don't make excuses to God. The God that we're serving is more powerful than the God of this world. What is in thine hand tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.